In 2001, a man named Scott Adams wrote a 132-page book, a novelette, if you will. And he wasn't sure anyone would want to pay for it, and he wanted as many people as possible to have a chance to read it. So he made it available for free online. And as you may know, every year quite a few writers with more hope than talent make things available for free online. This is nothing new. So what was so different about this little fingernail pairing of a book? Well, Scott Adams is the same Scott Adams who became internationally famous for drawing a very funny comic strip called Dilbert. And this book wasn't funny at all. Now, Scott Adams wouldn't be the first one to tell you that he's probably a jerk. In fact, he'd probably be the 5,000th one in line to tell you that most people regard him as kind of a jerk. He's brilliant. He's biting. He's a former Mensa member who doesn't do well with folks who can't keep up with him. This is probably not somebody you want at a party unless everyone there is dedicated to discussing astrophysics. When he was interviewed about the book, and this was an interview for general readers done by the Tech, Adams said, "God's Debris is the first non-Dilbert book I've ever done, and it's not a regular book, it's a thought experiment. I'm a trained hypnotist. I tried to write a book to screw with you people's heads. And what I've gathered from test audiences is that it will either freak you out or make you very angry at me, which is a good sign. It's part science and part religion, and none of it is true, and none of it was right. And it's just for you to figure out what's wrong with it." Now, when he's done interviews for more academic journals, what he has said is, "I did this as a meta-commentary on religion. I started from the simple premise, what if I began with science? What if I began with the idea of Occam's razor, that the simplest explanation is probably the correct one? And what if I went forward from there?" Because you see, Scott Adams doesn't believe in a God. He doesn't believe in religion. He has very publicly said that neither are essential to his state of being. He isn't even an atheist because he said that requires too much commitment. He doesn't know enough to know if he'd be an atheist. So this little book came out and so many people downloaded the free version that his publishers brought out a hardback copy within months. And then a reprint, and then another reprint, and then a paperback. Eventually a sequel, and it remains today the 16th most popular religious psychology text sold by Amazon. 132-page book written by a comedian. Adams loves to read. He likes to play with ideas and to explore what rational and scientific people would say about almost any subject. Bernard Haish, a NASA PhD astrophysicist, wrote the book The God Theory, in which he explains the creation of the universe as the transformation of a God into the universe. This idea of a deity becoming the thing it creates is called pandeism. It's not a new idea. Scott Adams doesn't believe in pandeism, but he believes in asking, what if? What if? What if the simplest explanation is the best? What if I make a comment on all the religions that ever have been or ever will be by saying, how would it look if I started over, beginning with the same principles, and created something different? And got somewhere that aligned with science, rather than fighting with it. In the intro to his work, Adams dares readers to differentiate its scientifically accepted theories from, and I quote, creative baloney designed to sound true, and to try to figure out what's wrong with the simplest explanations that he gives you in the book. By doing this, he asks you actually to do something greater, to turn around and look at every religion in that same sense. They all began with a simple explanation of something. He dares you to think about things that we are often encouraged not to think about, to just accept. So what kind of book is God's Debris? Well, it starts out like any other novel, but it is not a novel. The whole work contains only two characters. There is an unnamed delivery boy or delivery person who is the all man, the every guy, the I guy, your stand-in. And an old man who doesn't reveal his name until page 122 of a 132-page book. His name, by the way, is Avatar. The delivery boy could be anyone. And the tale begins when he is set to deliver a package at an address. He was taught to ring, wait 30 seconds, and then check the door. If it opens, toss the package inside if no one answers. If it doesn't open, walk away. He decides rules are for other people. So at this house, when he knocks and no one comes, he steps inside, only to find out that someone is very much home. Instead of complaining about this strange home invasion, the other man, an old man, Avatar, he invites this delivery person in for a conversation, and he starts it with a strange, weird question. He asks him, did you deliver the package, or did the package deliver you? And of course, the boy's general perception of this is, okay, I'm leaving now. But Avatar asks him, after the boy says, well, of course I delivered the package, would you have delivered the package if it did not have an address? And the boy denies, of course I wouldn't have delivered it. How could I have gotten here? And Avatar then says that, it appears that cooperation from the package is required to deliver it. This leaves this kid standing there, scratching his head, staring at the package, lost. But it sets up a Socratic dialogue that continues throughout the rest of the book. Avatar asks questions, and this everyman delivery boy answers them. The conversation goes off into the dark quickly. The man starts to talk about whether we have free will. And the package deliverer says we do, but after a few more critical questions, he admits he has no clue. Then we switch to discussing whether God has free will. And the boy decides that the old man must be an atheist. And we start to get the central conceit of the book. According to Avatar, in order to be God, by definition, any respectable God must be both omniscient or all-knowing and omnipotent or all-powerful. Makes sense, right? You got to have all this good stuff if you're God. He argues that an omnipotent being would have one question which prevented it from being omniscient. Can I end? Can I be destroyed? And he posits that in order to answer this question and fulfill itself as God, a divine being would have to choose to destroy itself, to cease to exist in order to be able to answer that question. Again, the simplest answers are the most right in this world. And he says when God ceased to exist, its body became the dust that we and the universe are made from, becoming the title, God's Debris, According to the Avatar, this debris from God consists of two things, matter and probability. This is a step to the side from the classic dualism of most religion. This isn't heaven, hell, God, the devil. Probability is a process. Matter is a substance. According to the Avatar, probability is the remains of the mind of God. Mathematical law of probability. And matter is the debris of God's physical being. A reviewer said, according to Avatar, an omnipotent and omniscient being cannot be motivated by the same motivations as humans. An omnipotent God does not require food, isn't driven by hunger. Such an omnipotent and omniscient being can only be motivated by one thing, the desire to experience non-existence. One might wonder if God had really ceased to exist. How can he experience non-existence? Here is an interesting twist and a distinction between Hesiod's pantheism and God's debris. For Adams, the non-existence of God is temporary. According to Avatar, we are part of the reconstruction of God. Since our universe is made from the same components as God, these components can be rearranged such that God will exist once more. Of course, we might want to know what God will be doing after his reconstruction, but the book doesn't mention this. There's a strong resemblance between Avatar's theory and Hinduism. Some schools of Hinduism believe that our soul is a piece of God's soul, Brahman, which had become separated from it. According to this view, the purpose of spirituality is the recombination of your soul with Brahman. Unlike some other religions, however, the God of God's debris cannot be reconstructed without humans. Avatar claims that the invention of the internet is a sign of the upcoming reconstruction of God, that we have gotten to the point where we are compelled to work together in larger and larger numbers. We are creating something outside ourselves, that God cannot be reconstructed without us, that our purpose is to co-create, and in doing so, create God. Because of this, it's essential that we learn to coexist with one another. It's in our programming. Since we are essential to God, as long as we exist, the divine can be reconstructed. This echoes the Jewish idea of tikkun olam, healing the world. If humanity destroys itself, however, or allows itself to be destroyed, the divine's hope of reconstruction is ended. In the book, Avatar is particularly concerned about weapons of mass destruction, which could lead to a new world war with the risk of human extinction. And of course, the delivery boy is uncertain about all this, reverts to classical religious belief, and asks if people have to do anything in order to make God happy. How do we pray, in essence? The Avatar says, every economic activity helps, whether you are programming computers or growing food, raising children, cleaning garbage from the side of the road. You are contributing to the realization of God's consciousness. None of these activities is more important than one another. Live your life. Do what you do. Just by being yourself, you are reconnecting bits of the divine. No holy books, no commandments, no important holy prophets, no sacred sites. The boy gets frustrated and says, how do we know what is good and evil? Evil is any action that damages people. Probability generally punishes evildoers, since most criminals are captured and jailed. Overall, the people who hurt others tend to pay. Evil exists, and on average, it is punished. This is quite close to the Buddhist idea of causality, and the boy notes the resemblance to the idea of karma. They talk about the possibility of an afterlife. The Avatar says, over time, everything that is possible happens. This is a fundamental quality of probability. If you flip a coin often enough, eventually it will come up heads 1,000 times in a row. And everything possible will happen over and over as long as God's debris exists. The clump of debris which comprises your body and mind will break down and disintegrate, but a version of you will reappear in the future by chance. Are you saying I'll reincarnate? No, I'm saying a replica of your mind and body could exist in the distant future by mere chance. And the things you do now can either make life more pleasant or more difficult for your replica. Being honest, the boy says, why should I care? That's a different guy. They cover rebirth and reincarnation, sequential lives. But if the theory of everything as presented in God's debris is correct, what about different religious views? Right, wrong, less wrong than others? And this is another one of the book's central themes. The best any human can do, Avatar says, is to pick a delusion that helps him get through the day. Religion matters, and this is why. This is why people of different religions can generally live in peace. At some level, we all suspect that other people don't believe in their own religion any more than we believe in ours. 4 billion people say they believe in God. Which God? But few genuinely believe. If people believed in God, they would live every minute of their lives in support of that belief. Rich people would give their wealth to the needy. Everyone would be frantic to determine which religion was true. No one could be comfortable in the thought they might have picked the wrong one. No one would want to blunder into eternal damnation or bad reincarnation or some other terrible consequence. People would dedicate their lives to converting others. We would all be Westboro Baptist Church. God's debris starts as that simple conceit. Scott Adams asks himself, what if? What if we dare to approach religion differently? What if I create an explanation? What if I look for big answers in simple questions? What if I examine religion from an outsider's perspective? What if we all are stardust? Read God's debris if you get a chance. Pick through it. Underline, red pen, scream at bits of it, find the mistakes, there are some. Engage in the thought exercise, deconstruct religion, explore what it might look like if science and religion worked together. God's debris is fiction, some of it is flat out lies, some of it's true, none of it is what Scott Adams believes. At least that's what he says. So read the book and think about what delusions help you get through your day. Amen.